since Mr. Trump is in office. He has shocked the world. Yeah, and the good properties, they flip within 2 days.
Is there one clever moment or tip that you have for people? I couldn't help but wonder, if taxes are truly unavoidable, why do they always feel like a bad date we never agreed to? Welcome to Tax and the City. I'm Julia Tatje from Taxum, your personal tax boutique in Zurich. Here we talk taxes simply and honestly. Sometimes just you and me, sometimes with guests, always rooted in real life. And just like that, something mandatory becomes a little more delightful. I couldn't help but wonder why the moment people fall in love with Switzerland is often the moment they are told no. The mountains are perfect, infrastructure works, the idea of having a place here feels grounding to a lot of them. And then comes the sentence no one expects. You're actually not allowed to buy that. At Taxum, we see things like this again and again. Successful international clients who assume that buying property is a question of budget only. When in Switzerland, it's often a question of permission. Lex collar, quotas, residency status, usage restrictions, building stop for holiday houses. Suddenly a dream turns into a puzzle, which is why today's conversation is so timely. My guest, Peter Bloemsma, managing partner of Swiss Advisory Services, works exactly at this intersection where international expectations meet Swiss reality. Peter, I'm really happy you're here. Welcome to Tax in the City.
Thanks for having me.
Peter, people often assume this is a tax conversation, but very often it starts much earlier. How did you end up working with internationals who want to buy property in Switzerland?
Good question. We have a place in the mountains ourselves, and a friend of mine who is not living in Switzerland asked me if I could assist him of finding and buying a similar property. And then I found out really fast, you know, like it's a complex and challenging process.
Yeah,
I live in Switzerland and I work in Switzerland. He lives outside Switzerland.
So for you, it wasn't complicated buying something in the mountains?
Yeah, because it is restricted for foreigners to buy.
Yes. For foreigners that don't live in Switzerland,
exactly.
To be precise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have a prime residence here.
Yes.
So that could be Swiss or a foreigner with a B or a C permit. Most of those people, they are not only looking for an investment, but for a long-term planning.
Yes.
And then I thought, hey, this could be a niche. And that's why I founded Swiss Advisory Services. And we are basically assisting clients, mostly internationals, with the acquisition of their property in Switzerland.
Okay.
That's what we do.
And when did you realize that the biggest surprise isn't the price of properties, which can be quite surprising as well, but it's more the rules in Switzerland?
Yeah, well, pricing can be managed. It's all about setting expectations, and probably you have the same in your business. But especially for foreigners, it is restricted. When people Google, they will probably see Lex Collar. So affordability doesn't mean I get a permission, because Switzerland is really protecting its land. And then also since 2012, we had a building stop for the houses. So not only for foreigners, but also for the prime residence holders. And that had a huge impact
on the market,
on supply.
Yes.
And the demand is, as always. So those are basically, not only price.
No, yeah, it's not only the price. So let's assume your client is not worried about the price, then there is still might be a short supply. And there is those famous Lex Collar things. Maybe you can say something about Lex Collar and just shortly, for those of us that are not familiar with this term.
In summary, Lex Collar is basically restricting the acquisition of land and property by foreigners in Switzerland. There are 1,500 permits to give away.
In
the whole Switzerland. The teller starts 1st of January on zero, 1,500 peers. A foreigner, when he buys privately, residential, can only buy one.
Okay.
He can only buy maximum of 200 square meters net. He can only buy 1,000 square meters land.
Okay.
And he cannot resell within 5 years. So that is Those are the restrictions.
Yes.
And that is a big surprise to a lot of people.
Because I can imagine.
Because Switzerland is very open.
Yeah.
And they think, well, when it is open, we can buy whatever we want. No, you cannot.
Okay.
So that is the biggest surprise. And that is always when I do the intake to really explain them. Because some clients say, but we have the money.
Yeah.
But you cannot buy it.
Yeah. So money can't buy everything. Like we met through a partner that is advising US individuals. I remember finally someone who explains Switzerland without sugarcoating it, because this is what a lot of people do. Switzerland has this image of like it's all cute and pretty, picture perfect.
Which it is.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that as already. I think you need to do a lot of expectation management. So it's not like I do have a couple of millions available. I want this house.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more.
So sometimes I have clients, you know, like, okay, what is my wish list? Freestanding chalet, ski in, ski out, 7 bedrooms, carriage for 5
swimming
cars.
Swimming pool.
The lot.
Yes.
And then I say, you know, like, okay, first of all, it's not on the market.
Yeah.
And second of all,
even if
you cannot buy it, and people are surprised because typically those type of clients, they have multiple assets and they can buy in their home countries whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes a shock. And then they say, are there not any exceptions? No.
No.
And in that perspective, the Swiss are very strict.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Expectation gap, sometimes that also happens in the field of taxes.
Yeah. But on the other hand, if you know the rules, so for instance, I had a client who wanted to have a penthouse, but
yes,
it was not on the market. And I knew of a new development and they were selling units. So I thought, okay, why don't we contact them and we acquire 2 units? We will combine them, we will merge them as long as it is registered in the land registry as one, because
okay,
you can only buy. And if we work together with the developer and we stay under 200 square meters net, we also fulfill that requirement.
Okay.
So at the end, he bought it and he probably has 320 gross.
Yeah.
So there is a big thing, what is net, what is gross. But officially he stayed under 200 net.
Okay.
Now he has a huge penthouse. Yeah. He thought he could not buy. So if you know the regulation, but this was like 12 years ago, so a lot has changed because of this building stock. It's the same with tax. If you know the rules,
yeah, it helps.
And you navigate the right way, then you can add value to your client.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So Lex Koller, we already touched that a bit. Why does Switzerland have this law? Don't we like people buying expensive holiday homes, or why did Switzerland put this in place?
They are very restricted. They want to protect their land. They want to protect their DNA.
Yeah.
So if you go to a typical, now we are talking about ski resorts, so yeah, in the mountain snow, you don't see the high-rise buildings that you will probably see in France, right? We don't want to have ghost towns, because can you imagine if they do that, you will have maybe 60,000 people during Christmas and in the second week of January.
There's going to be no one.
There is no one.
Yeah.
During Christmas, you need to have all the facilities, all the supermarkets, all the grocery, you know, like the rest.
Just to make it like very, very clear, if one of our listeners is living in Switzerland, they are not affected by this Lex Koller thing. So if they have their primary residence here,
they are considered a Swiss.
Even if they are not having a Swiss passport, yeah, but they can buy a holiday home in the mountains.
But as I said, in 2012,
yes,
there is a building stop.
Yes.
For holiday houses, so also for the Swiss. And if you ask, you know, like what has happened over the last couple of years?
Yes.
A lot. Global warming is a fact.
Yeah.
So I was skiing during Christmas and we see a lot of buses driving up with day people.
Yeah.
And they are typically going to other ski resorts. They are lower. So where do they go? Where the snow is.
Yeah.
That has a huge impact on the prices. The other thing is also the Swiss ski resorts don't want to be totally dependent on the winter season. So they are
Mountain biking.
Mountain biking, hiking, horse riding, golf, tennis, paddle.
Swimming. Yeah.
Surfing, sailing. They are offering multi-season activities. That requires huge investments. So that has changed. COVID has changed a lot for the world, but specifically for Switzerland, the Swiss typically go on summer holidays, not in Switzerland.
Yeah.
They could not travel.
Yeah.
What did they do? They bought holiday house.
They discovered that it's actually very beautiful during summer here as well.
Not always. Yeah, exactly. So the stock went down.
Yeah.
And now we are, like 3 years down the road. Now, rarely you see those properties hitting the market again.
Yeah.
COVID also, the Swiss embraced home working.
Yeah.
So if you buy a holiday house, you are looking for a study.
Yeah.
So the requirements for the holiday house, not only from the Swiss, but in general, people tend to say, okay, if I go there, I want to work there.
Yeah.
So
extra room,
infrastructure, maybe co-working spaces, the e-mobility. So if you drive into Switzerland and you have an e-car, so the requirements from the people has changed a lot. Thing that really has changed over the last 3 years has to do with the global instability.
Yes.
It economically and demographically.
And politically.
What we see is people are looking for a plan B. What if the shit hits the fan?
Okay, then they consider Switzerland as a valid plan B.
And Switzerland is perceived by a lot of those people, it's a safe haven. And I must say, the last couple of since Mr. Trump is in office, he has shocked the world.
Yeah.
And we see that. So there is a lot of interest in people buying holiday houses.
Okay, listening to you, it seems like there's more and more and more people looking for holiday houses, but there's not more that is being put on the market because of the building stop. Is there one clever moment or tip that you have for people? Okay, so when would be, if ever, a good moment to look and buy something, potentially not in December?
Well, I always advise, if you're looking for holiday houses for snow activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when go people go there? Just before Christmas till Easter. And a lot of those people are emotional buyers.
Yeah.
So when they check out of a hotel for 2 weeks, they will do the calculation. What can I afford putting this money into a mortgage?
Yeah.
So don't buy then. My advice would be, wait till the snow has disappeared.
Yes.
Let's say.
Go look again.
Another thing what you see is because of that building stop, there is a new solution in the market, which is buy to let. So you buy something, but there is an obligation that you have to rent it out.
Yes.
So with some.
To a permanent resident.
No.
No.
You buy something and you can use it 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And the rest of the season, you have to rent it out.
Okay, to someone else.
To someone else.
Okay.
In a hotel setting. And for some people, this is quite interesting because they only have 5 weeks holiday.
Yeah.
So in a good scenario, the rental income will pay the fixed cost.
Yeah.
And then you still have your preferred location, let's say, in Seattle.
Yeah.
And you don't have any worries.
Yeah.
So that is a good alternative if you cannot find your perfect holiday destination.
Okay. So there might be solutions.
Yeah. It's still tough. Yeah.
Okay. Are there stories that you've seen people wanting to buy something, people actually then buying something? Is there any stories you can share with us apart from those that you already told us? Or popular misconceptions, apart from I have the money, I can simply just point on something and buy it.
Yeah. As I said, it's all about setting expectations. You need to be lucky. So what I typically do, if I have someone, real estate agents, the selling agents, they want to work with agents that are assisting the buyer.
Yes.
Often, purchase doesn't go through because the client is not prepared. So first of all, you have the regulations, the permits, but also if you need a mortgage in Switzerland, it takes time. And the mortgage is a bit different than in probably other countries because you need to bring quite a bit of own assets.
Yes.
And the bank is not calculating with, let's say, 1.3%. They're calculating with 5%. So there is a formula that the bank applies.
Yeah.
And then they can calculate, okay, what is my affordability?
Yes, they do this famous feasibility test.
Exactly.
Yes.
And yeah. So often clients, even if they have the money, they miss out because they are too late.
Yeah.
So my advice would be do your homework first, with or without a buying agent.
Yeah.
It would be perfect if I, for instance, in my role, if I could buy, if I can find property that is off market.
Yeah.
So my role is to build up a huge network in Switzerland with those selling agents. Like, hey, if you have something, if you do an intake, call me. I have a client.
Yeah.
And that takes time. I've been doing this now since 2009. I know a lot. I live in Zurich. Most of the ski areas within 2 hours, I know all the agents. And I speak German. But we also have a French-speaking part. But I have built a huge network. So Swiss Advisory Service, we are a network of service providers.
Yes.
Like tax consultants.
Yes.
Because if you own a place in Switzerland, you need to pay tax.
Yes. Actually, also, if you don't live here, property like a house or a flat, a penthouse, a chalet, whatever it is taxable in Switzerland because it's an immobile asset.
Exactly.
So even if the client lives in the Netherlands, China, or wherever, Switzerland will ask this person to complete a tax return. And surprising to a lot of people is that in the tax return, they will also have to declare their worldwide income and assets that have nothing to do with the property. So this is often a surprise for people.
This is a surprise.
Yes.
And if I look to my clients, they typically say, I don't know. And if I want to figure it out, it takes me days.
Yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong, the Swiss are also say, okay, but then we will calculate the highest rate.
Yes.
So you don't have to.
Exactly.
So if you don't want to invest your time and effort, then they will. But again, compared to other countries, I'm Dutch, having a holiday house in Holland, it's way more taxed than, for instance, in Switzerland.
Yes. Yeah.
Plus the other thing is also, as you know, the mortgage rate, the mortgage costs, the renovation costs, the maintenance costs are still, are still tax deductible.
Yes.
So most of my clients, they talk to people like you.
Yes.
Even if they have the assets, what would be my most tax efficient mortgage?
Yes. Yes. So even if you are willing to accept the highest tax rate because it's because you just can't be bothered or because your life is too complicated outside of Switzerland to actually make a proper declaration, then we can still find ways to bring down the taxable income and assets in Switzerland as much as possible. Yes. And like, I honestly have never seen someone that says, no, I'm not buying a holiday home because of the taxes, because this is not.
No. No, but the clients have to understand.
Yes.
It's 6 different cantons.
26 different tax laws.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
So when people ask me about tax, I always say, I will put you forward or I will introduce you to the local experts.
Yes.
Because someone in Wallis, which is the French speaking bit,
yes.
they don't know how the whole tax.
Yes. So it's very different from canton to canton.
Yeah.
In Wallis is a very special area in many regards.
When it comes to taxes related to holiday home, it's not a massive issue. It's not a massive cost factor. It's just like, I just highly advise, take care of it and have someone that assists you with it. And then it's not a massive thing. It only becomes a problem if you neglect it or don't do anything about it.
Well, the thing, while we're talking about tax, I also have clients that are considering moving to Switzerland for a longer term, and then you could apply for the lump sum taxation. For a lot of nationalities, that could be very interested. So I'm Dutch, for instance. If you live here for 10 years, you don't pay any inherited tax to your kids. well, in Holland, for instance, you pay a lot of tax. And I think that also applies for other countries. So again, if you are considering Plan B and you live in a country where it is easier to move your papers, let's say, to Switzerland,
yep,
then that could be definitely be an issue.
Yep.
And if you do that, you have more choice because you're not considered as a foreigner.
Yes, then you can buy the second holiday home or the one with the 5 swimming pools, if you manage to find it. Let us know. We would be very interested where you found it. Do you think it has changed over the last few months? Like you mentioned Mr. Trump and global situation. Are people willing to accept properties that don't perfectly fit their requirements just to have something?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Because of this Plan B thing, huh?
Yeah. Plan B. So I had a couple inquiries about people, you know, like, I want to find something in 4 months. Find it.
Whatever it is, basically.
Whatever. Yeah. And that is, it's a bit scary. It's an interesting world that we live in. And also, you know, like, if you look at the last 10 years, if you look at the price increases, all the factors that I just mentioned.
Yes.
But we are in the middle of Europe.
Yes.
When I came to Switzerland in 2003, the euro was 167 to the franc. Now it's 93 cents.
Yes.
So those countries around Switzerland that are considering buying a holiday house in Switzerland, they come with euros. So it is very expensive. There's still more demand than supply. That drives the prices up, not only from the foreigners, but also from the Swiss.
You mentioned global warming and like resorts that are up higher, becoming more popular. Do you see like a different price development in lower resorts? Can you actually tell that from a price perspective?
Yeah. So the prices are still going up.
Okay.
But the price increases in all the resorts,
not as much,
higher than 1,500 meters,
yes,
they go up much faster.
Okay.
So if you look at the stats, for instance, Switzerland has relatively high altitude ski resorts. Their price increases compared to the rest in Europe, in the European Alps, has been increasing more than, let's say, Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a fact. Global warming is there.
It's a shame, yes.
But it's the reality. And
I don't want to say the good news in. when talking about global warming, but it could be something if you definitely want to have a property in Switzerland and a Plan B, looking for something in a resort that is below 1,500 could be a good option.
That could be a good option if you're not keen on winter sports, or for instance, if you are okay when you drive 20 minutes to a higher up ski resort.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So, I know that people that live here and that have their permanent residence here, they have difficulties in finding something in the Alps. I can only imagine how difficult it must be.
Yeah.
If you are not in the country yourself, you live elsewhere, you can't go have a look at something like this. So this is something that you then do for your clients, right?
Yeah, and the good properties, they flip within 2 days.
Yeah.
And the really good properties, they are not published. And that's where we come in as agents, that we have a huge network. Agents tend to work together because we have done our homework with our clients. We can move fast. And if I bring a client, maybe in the future, I will have a property that I want to sell, and then I will go to my colleagues.
Yes.
So we all help each other. The thing, of course, if you look at the real estate market, also has changed because, you know, like, 10 years ago, there were a lot of new developments that they can sell. But now there is less to sell.
Do you see any end to this building stop? Are there any discussions going on?
Well, there is a building stop, but what is newly built, most of it is or buy to let. So basically, all the houses with a rental obligation. But also for primary residences, because there is a huge challenge in most tourist destinations. During peak, you have to serve your clients, but the local people, they have to
They have to live somewhere.
They have to provide their service, and they have to live somewhere. Yeah. So if you go into the mountains nowadays and you see new developments, typically it's for primary residences.
Okay. And are these primary residences priced very differently?
Yes. I would say, especially also for foreigners, there is typically a premium to be paid.
Okay.
Because the sellers, they know when you have something and you are under that 200 square meters, you know that you will open a new market.
Yes.
The foreigners. And they are keen. And yeah.
There is this story that is being told and told and told that you can find a trick. You have to set up a company in Switzerland and then you can buy a holiday home. Can you demystify that?
Well, there is a resort which is Andermatt, which is a huge resort in the center of Switzerland. When they started, they negotiated. This is Lex Color exempted. So you can buy as big as you want, as many as you want. There you could also buy with a company. Yes, you can. Can you buy with a company? Yes, but it is typically not residential property.
Okay.
It's commercial property.
Okay.
And then you have totally different requirement. So the Lex Scholar is looking at private person.
Yeah.
That's Lex Scholar.
Yeah.
They don't look at a company. If it's a company, they say no.
Okay. Because it is, I think it is a common misconception. I hear this again and again.
It is very complicated.
Yes.
Definitely, there are cases. There are also cases. So I heard a case the other day, someone not living in Switzerland, he had a holiday house and he extended it. And then he wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
And then the notary said, this is the origin, which is under 200 meters. If I do the inspection now, there is 340 meters.
So he didn't have a permit.
He just built. So they said, if you want to sell it, restore it in the original state that you bought it in.
Oh, wow, okay.
So the Swiss can be very big. Yeah.
Yeah, and they can be very like, this is the law.
This is the law.
This is the law.
And that is very, it's very clear. These are the rules. And if you follow them and you live by them, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's one takeaway for me today, it is wanting something badly doesn't automatically make it possible. But understanding the rules gives you back control. Here at Taxum, we always say that good decisions start with honest conversations, ideally before people fall in love with a property they may never be allowed to own. You'll find all relevant details about Peter's Swiss Advisory Services and our services at Taxum in the show notes, as usually. And just like that, you've been listening to another episode of Tax in the City. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for having me.